slippery outside there? More or less safe?
Yeah.
It seems to be drier than colored.
I did not leave the house today.
People listen to the radio, they get scared.
I didn't get scared, I figured my trailer was down, so I couldn't take anything to Zero's place anyway. To go into the harbor would not work.
Already in New Bedford, they tell you, school cancellation and all that.
I'm already here.
Not over it.
All right, what am I competing with tonight?
I was listening to the tape the last week's year.
You weren't here last week?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, okay.
Before,
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And I wanted to get straight, Lamar, on the reason for why Oaks was, what relation that had to do with the cycle and the planting.
Yeah, so
and then why that came in with the rice and
sure.
The kidneys.
I didn't say rice, I said kidneys, legumes.
Yeah.
So all of this is in. Did you look at the material that I handed
yeah.
out?
I mean, but I, well, I was not in the car, but you know, I was listening to it in the car.
Right. Well,
I tried to review it because it was an exceptional share, and which
fine.
Is always this year. Every shares are always exceptional. But this is something I want to try to remember.
Yeah, well, first of all, you have the material in detail in the handout. So I don't make a claim to be an economic historian or historian of the Middle Ages, but if you look in my pages, whatever it is, my pages 38 through 50, whatever, through 48 through 50, not 49, right? This is all described, this is just taken straight from this little book that's under this pile somewhere. It's still on the table, I haven't moved it in 2 weeks. No, not true, that's the other one. There should be a small little volume somewhere.
No, it's a big Mars.
All right, it doesn't matter. It's this book on medieval technology. And the point there was that in the system of the two-field rotation, there were basically three differences. One is that the fields were actually plowed, seeded in the winter, right? Winter, the wheat was planted in the winter, and half the field was kept and the other half was left fallow. There was no planting of leguminous plants, which add nitrogen to the soil, and the soil sort of just lay fallow for a year. The second difference was that the draft animal was the ox. So they had, and even though a horse was as powerful as an ox without a harness, which could the ordinary yoke that they would use for oxen would just simply choke the horse. The horse is just built differently from an ox, and therefore the yoke of an ox which was used to plow was not efficient for a horse. So they had to develop a harness from which the horse could actually pull the plow. And the third thing is that oxen eat grass and horses eat oats.
Fuel is oats.
Yes, the fuel is oats. So horses are more efficient for various reasons. They can last longer, they put in a longer day, and so on. And if they feed, and if they're fed oats, getting the amount of nutrient this can be. So what happened was, they switched to the three-field system, in which a third of the field was planted in the winter wheat, and in the spring they were planting oats and legumes together, and the third field was left fallow. So the planting of oats came in both as a cause and as an effect of the transfer from oxen power to horsepower. So this had several effects. One effect was that more land was cultivated, because each year two-thirds of the field was bringing in crops instead of one-third of the field.
They didn't plant oats previously on a dike and a bike?
They had a small amount of oats, but they didn't have that great need for it because the horses weren't used for plowing. The horses were used, you know, for soldiering. But the use of the horse as an actual draft animal did not exist. So there, and the transition to oats, which is a spring seeding, were seeded at the same time that they would seed the legumes.
That's what I missed.
Yeah, so that therefore, that the net effect of this was, as I started last year with a pasuk from Yechezkel telling you what a balanced vegetarian diet consists of. He didn't have oats, but he did have a lot of legumes, right? He had pull, he had beans and peas as part of the balanced vegetarian diet. So this also had an impact on the human efficiency. Because if you're just eating bread, and there's not enough meat to go around, and you're just eating bread, you don't have a balanced nutrition. But if you're eating oats, which is better, and on top of that, eating peas and beans, that is, the legumes provide the, there's a doctor here, but the legumes provide the amino acids, some of the amino acids that are missing in the grains, and that's a balanced diet. All of this is explained in this, this handout.
38 to 1.
Right.
My fourth grade daughter's doing broccoli.
Right.
And she's preparing for these broccoli. So I asked her, I said, what are they telling you to say for the meal?
Right. Well, don't make her lose the contest. All right. So that is, first of all, since oats then became a major staple, it was inconceivable, according to Rashi, that it would not be one of the Hamishas Hamim. And therefore, he falsely identified Shibbuk, or whoever. I'm not blaming it all on Rashi, but whatever it was, there was a false identification of Shibbuk Shuwa with oats. And then what I'm saying is that since oatmeal never rises, then you can't. Gemara says that there's a distinction between wheat and barley flour on the one hand, and other types of flour, because the other types of flour are merely spoil, that is, they ferment, but they don't rise. They don't have this ability of the gluten breaking apart and still holding together and giving that gluten mixture which allows the dough to rise. Therefore, but once you falsely identified oats as one of the Hamishas Aminim, and you know that oat flour doesn't rise, then you have a hard time in your own mind distinguishing between oat flour and bean flour or pea flour, especially if they're planted together. And that, to my mind, is the cause why we had it from the Ashkenazim evolved into a Yisur kidney. So I'm claiming that three things are tied together. One is the economic move from Southern Europe to Northern Europe with the change of agricultural policy. The second is the misidentification of Shibbuk Shuwal with oats. And the third is the confusion and therefore the prohibition against kibbutz. Right. I mean, that's more or less what I said.
Right.
All right. So now let's go on with the Mishnah in Challah. Tonight's shiur is not going to be so excellent. It's just going to be technical.
Don't be the judge.
Okay. So let's go to Mishnah Dalet. And it's only the last sentence of the Mishnah Dalet. And so I'm on my page 2, back all the way to my page 2. Elul chayavin v'ma'asot u'tuvim v'nachala ha'orez v'hadokhan, I suppose you should read, v'hapadim v'hashumshumim v'hakitniyot u'pachot mechameshet v'vaim v'tuva. And now the ones that I'm interested in. Hasufkinin, that's sponge cake, presumably. Hadubshinin, that's presumably honey cake. Baha Askritin, that's temporarily translated as dumplings. That's a neutral translation, which won't offend anybody. Okay? Bahalat hamashret, let's neutrally translate that as pancakes. Mishnah Dalet. Okay? Hasufkinin, hadubshinin, vaskritin, vachalata mashreit, vahatmudluman, things that have tumah mixed in with it, ptuin menachala. So all of these cases, according to the interpretation that we've just given, and it's not the universal interpretation, if we look in the Oath, we'll see that there's a mix of interpretations, but according to this interpretation, then all four of these items are items in which the dough is pourable, right? It's not bread dough, which is kneaded, but it's rather mixer dough, right? That's not thick. Then we go to the next Mishnah. Isah shetchilata sufkin. If you have some dough, which is originally sponge cake type dough, presumably this means loose dough, was so fossil, and you actually make sponge cake out of it. Ketuvah min ha'chalav. Everyone agrees. So presumably Mishnah Hay is coming to explain Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Medala tells you that sponge cake does not require a hafrashat challah, and now Mishnah Hay is telling you what is the definition of sponge cake.
We dropped the idea of pasta.
We're going to come to that. The whole purpose of tonight's shiur is to discuss that. But let's just first see if we can briefly understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah Hay is presumably coming to tell us that Isa shetchilata sufkinin v'sofla sufkinin, ketuva min ha'chalav. That's easy. If you start making a loose dough, a liquid, what's the right word?
Batter. Supposed,
batter, which is not meat, you don't say bread batter? What's the one of the words in English?
Batter is what you beat the dough.
Okay, so therefore the batter, batter, the sofa sufkinin, and you've made an actual sponge cake out of this batter. Ketuvah min ha'chalav. There's no requirement of hafrashat challah. However, tchilata isa the sofa sufkinin. If it started out as dough and ended up as sufkinin, or tchilata sufkinin the sofa isa, or it started out as batter and ended up as an actual hard baked, as if it was dough baked, chayamin b'chalav.
It's not known as yesa, it was needed. Yes. How could it end up as sufkinin?
That's exactly
the
problem.
Ended up as dough baked, or ended up as...
That's exactly the problem. The problem is, what does chilata isa b'sofa sufkinin mean? What does chilata isa b'sofa
sufkinin mean? Once it was dough, I mean, automatically, if you eat it, but automatically...
According to Rabbeinu Tam, and this is what we're going to have to spend the whole night studying, most of it. According to Rabbeinu Tam, tchilata isa v'sofa sufkinin is a physical explanation. It's talking about dough, which was kneaded into hard dough, and then no matter what you do with it afterwards, it still requires challah. So for example, if you knead this dough, cut it up into strips, and make macaroni out of it, where there was no baking at all, right, or spaghetti, or vermicelli, or what have you.
Well, what happened to my mother used to make is soup, it was
noodles.
So
we...
That's where she made it, yeah.
Sure. So the question is, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what to do with macaroni, spaghetti, pasta, and lakshya. That's our problem. Rabbeinu Tam interprets chilata isa sofa sufkinin to mean any type of dough that was actually needed, even though afterwards it was not actually baked. And similarly, the reverse. You might have taken some soft dough and then actually baked it hard, like a pretzel or something like this, which might be poured. There are various different types of pretzel, like a soda pretzel. You've given me a quizzical look. But there will be certain types of doughs which are batters and then are baked to such a consistency that they feel hard, like perhaps like bread.
Joel was talking about kibble last week.
For example. Okay, so now, in order to understand all of this, let's first turn to the Gemara. What we're going to do is turn to the Gemara in Brachos. Then we will study the Gemara in Pesachim, but as I said, I was unable to do my printer is on the bling, so you'll have to trust me that I'm reading the Gemara in Pesachim correctly. I don't have it in the handout. And then come back to the Tosfos in Brachos.
This is a Mishnah.
What?
Mishnah.
It's a Mishnah.
I mean, it's Chalas.
It's a Mishnah. So let's turn to the very end of my passage from the Gemara in Brachos. I want to go to the Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. So my page 52. And I may run past this, in which case I'll switch to the Gemara. My page 52. Omar Rava. Do we have that? About a third of the way down from the top. Omar Rava. Hai riata da chakloi. This riata of chakloi, Rashi explains, riata hu chavitz kedeva, some kind of a paste made out of flour and other ingredients, right? The machshi bi kimcha, if there's a lot of flour in it, mavarech borei minei mizono. My time of the smida ika. So the rieta that is made out by the farmers, they put in a lot of flour, so this should be considered as some kind of a flour food, the main ingredient being flour, and the sugar and whatever other ingredients are put in there are secondary ingredients. The mechuza, on the other hand, from the people that make the same type of pastry in town, where the delomafshi bakim come, where there's only a small amount of flour put in. In other words, the Gemara is trying, my time with dubsha ika. In other words, if the farmers put in a lot of flour and then a little honey or sugar as a sweetener, and therefore it's considered a pastry, whereas in town, they put in a lot of sugar and a little bit of flour, and it's considered as a candy rather than a pastry. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the distinction. Then Rava changed his mind and said, in both cases, in Mikabawai Minemuzono, the Rabu Shmuel, the Amot Ravayu, Kol Shiyeshbu, Bichameshet Haminim, Roif and Alem Bawai Minemuzono. Any object which has a flour in it, even though it's not necessarily the main ingredient, but it is an important ingredient. It's not just simply used as a glue, but as you have, has plays some important role, it's still a boi meaning or something. Omar Yosef, Hai Chavitza, the Itbei Kehurin Kezayit. Now again, we have a problem with the meaning of the word Chavitza. The Oroch translates Chavitza. Tirer hapat b'ka'ara, v'shafach hamarak aleihem. In other words, you take some bread croutons, for example, and you put them into the plate, and then you pour the soup over them. All right. But they, remember, here is talking about a case where you really want to eat the croutons. It's not it's just simply that you're eating soup, where the soup is the ikar and the bread is the tafel. But you want to eat these croutons, but you then you that's right. So, hai chavitz kedera, hai chavitza v'itpe peurin kezayit b'chilam avarech alav amotzi lechem min haaretz u'lesof al mevarech alav shalosh brachot. You make a motzi when you eat these at the beginning, and you bench at the end. The letbe peurin kezayit. If there are no, if the sizes of the pieces of bread that are in there are less than a kezayit, b'chilam avarech alav borei minei mizonot. Omar Rab Yosef Mina Amina. How do I know that there's a distinction between the case of whether the pieces do or do not have a kezayit? Tanya. Haya omega makrid menachot Yerushalayim. When someone, the Kohen, stands and brings the menachot for the first time in Yerushalayim, Omer Baruch Shechiyanu v'hiyivyonu v'hiyivyonu lazman hazeh. Natlan la'achlan, when he took one of these to eat, mavarech ha'motzi lachem min ha'aretz. V'tani alev u'kulam potitim kezayit. And all of them have pieces the size of a kezayit. Amar lo rabbi elo mayata latanu lebei v'shoel yomar polchan ad shemachziran l'saltan. If you grind it up until they become flour, hachinami do lomboi b'ruchi ha'motzi lachem min ha'aretz. If you shouldn't make a bruch ha'motzi lachem min ha'aretz on matzah meal, for example, or on bread meal, if you collected crumbs up to a kezayit and ate it, in chametzu anush karei bi'matzahi adam yotzei yudecha v'tov v'tesa. that if you eat enough matzah meal, eat a tablespoonful or whatever the shiur is, half a cupful, or maybe if you're more machmir. But in any event, you eat a whole supply of matzah meal, you say, meaning that simply having ground the matzah up into matzah meal doesn't make it lose its identity as bread. When they were all mixed together, liquid, but stuck together with liquid. It's talking about when it came from a larger piece. My habile amar sheshes hay chabitza. This chabitza, afal gab the let big people ring to zayit. Even if the sizes of the pieces are not as large as zayit, mevarech alav hamotzi lechem min haaretz. You still make a bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz. In other words, on the smaller croutons, you take a whole lot of bread croutons and pour the soup over them, and you're intending to eat the croutons, right? That's going to be your source of nourishment. You still have to make a bracha l'motzi lechem min haaretz, even if the pieces are less than a kezayit. The individual pieces are less than a kezayit. Omar Rava, v'hu de'ika alei turita benam. That's provided that they still have, and this is going to be for us a very difficult phrase, turita danam. They still have the structure, the shape of bread. In this particular example, we don't have too much trouble. What he's saying is if you take these croutons and put them into the soup, and they're less than a kezayit, and then you cook them over in a pot, over the fire, or you'll let them sit for a long time until they become mushy and dissolve, and essentially have lost their identity as chunks of bread, then you will no longer make a motzi lechem in haaretz, but rather you'd make a boing in Arizona. So in this particular example, turita danama simply means whether these pieces of bread, by the process that you used them, by putting them in a soup and pouring the hot soup over them, or boiling them in water, or what have you, have lost or retained their identity. Turuknin chayavin b'chala. V'chi ati rabam rabi yochan, turuknin p'turin b'chala. Omar, my turuknin, what is this phrase, turuknin? Omar abaye kuva da'ar, something that's actually baked on in the ground. V'amar abaye, tarita pato min achal. If you make tarita, then you don't require achal. My tarita. What?
So baking ground, so.
So, therefore, we have to understand why. But according to this particular, the implication being, for example, that if it's not actually baked in an oven,
even though it looks like bread?
Even though it looks like bread, even though it's not a baked... Tosfos has a different explanation. Oh. And what we're going to have to do is understand what the actual meaning here is. But the implication from this is that this bread, which was not actually baked in the oven, is not constituted as bread. This is in contradiction to the explanation that we gave before for Rabbi Natam of Chilata Isa V'Sof Pasuk.
This parshim, where the croutons have disintegrated, becomes a mizono by virtue of the fact that it's flour content?
Yes.
Yeah. As opposed to saying if it were some thick vegetable soup of some sort, it would be a bori kriyadam, or if it were just a broth, it would become a shahar.
Right, but on the flour content, yeah, sure. If you meet cereal, cooked cereal, for example, right. It's also bori kriyadam.
I'm thinking of these gravies that have a large flour base.
If they have a really large flour base, then it might be boiling in Amazon. Mm-hmm.
Try that sometime.
Okay. My torita. Torita doesn't require chal. My torita. Ika di amri gevil mertach, something that's very dough, which is just lightly baked. In other words, it wasn't really baked at all. It's still raw dough. The ika di amri nahama dahandika. Others say that it's bread that's actually baked on a spit. Let's take a look at Rashi. Gevil mertach, mutin kemach umayim v'kli yavok shim v'kaf v'shofim alakhi v'kishin v'seh. So you're taking some water, mixing it up, and then pouring this mixture in a hot pot. That doesn't count as bread. Nahama di hindika bat seik shofin b'shpudim o'shkinoto tamid b'shemen over maybe it's in the shem. You take some dough, you knead it, you put it on a spit, and then you keep brushing it with oil or with a mixture of egg whites and oil. The ika di amri.
Bagel?
No, this is not a bagel. Bagel is
the first one. The first one.
The bagel is baked after it's cooked.
Boiled
the bagel is boiled first and then baked. This is nothing baked. Okay, we'll have to discuss a bagel. All of these things have to come into consideration. Okay? Ika di amri, lechem ha'asui l'kutach. Some say that it's bread that's made for kutach. How do I translate kutach? It's some form of a yogurt, some form of a sour milk with moldy bread. Apparently it was something that only Babylonians could tolerate eating. You have to have a special taste for it. Kutach de Bavloi, but it's sort of a strong yogurt, and one of the ingredients in there is some fermented bread or wheat mixture. Tani Rabbi Kriya, lechem ha'asui likutach, bread which is made specifically for the purpose of producing this form of sour milk mixture, patur min achala. Vatanya chayav bekala. Hatam kedektani taima. Rabbi Yehuda omer ma'aseh mofichin ala. The way in which it's made decides the issue. Asa'an ka'achin. If it's made into large loaves, and I'm out of space, so I'll have to look in the morning. Here's a couple of lines on the next page. Asaka avin chayavin, if it's made thick, like loaves of bread, then it is higher v'chala, to the mudim p'turim.
Rashi says that we baked in the sun one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's also outside of enough.
Outside of enough.
Is that the criterion?
Yeah. So that's our problem. What happens to all of these types of bread, which are made from dough, which are perhaps baked in other ways than are anticipated? So actually, this is discussed in the Gemara in Pesachim. So let me now read to you. I didn't see Raksit. I'll read to you from the Gemara in Pesachim. So I'm reading from Daf Lam Zayin Amra. Okay? So you just have to believe me that I'm not misreading the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Yotz'in the Pat Nekiya, you can fulfill the requirement of Achilat Matzah with bread that's made from fine flour, especially ground, heavily, thoroughly ground flour, ubahadra, and in very thick challah. You know, you can make the matzah thick, it doesn't have to be paper thin. Uvasrikin hamatsuyarin bepesa. And furthermore, from Syrian bread, which have designs on them, in which, you know, the baker engraved some design on the bread in the process of making it. Afal pisha amru ein osin srikinam suyarin bepesach. Even though there's a prohibition against making designer matzah on Pesach, nevertheless it has been done, but the evidence is permissible. Amar Yehuda davar zeh sha'al beitus ben zonin lachachamim. Beitus es the chachamim upnei ma amru eino since we kinam tsuyarin bePesach. Why don't you make designer matzah on Pesach? Amru lo upnei sha'isha shoha ala umachmitzata. Because the woman will spend a lot of time trying to get the artistry straight, and in the meanwhile the matzah will rise and turn into chametz. So therefore the chazal prohibited making fancifully designed matzah. Amar lahem, eshar yasena b'tfus v'ena. Why don't we just, I can make a stamp, and you can press them out with machines, cookie cutter. Amulo yonbu kola sumikin asurin. What are we going to say? That all of the designer matzah are prohibited, sumike beitas mutorin, and the The ones that are made from the house of Bethus are permissible, since most women don't have these fancy cookie cutters. We prohibit the design, well, design or matzah altogether. Amar Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, Pam achat nechnaste achar abba lebeis Rabban Gamliel, vehevi'u lefanav smikina mutsuyamin bepesach. I came went into Rabban Gamliel's house, and they brought in some of these matzos with designs on them Pesach. Amarti, abba, lo kach amu chachamim eino sin smikina mutsuyim bepesach. Amar li bni lo shel kol adam amu, ela shel nachtonim amu. We only are talking about the designs that are produced by the baker, presumably that he wants to make it extra special nice, and therefore he takes a long time. Amru ika di amu yitachav kamar, lo shel nachtonim amu, not from bakers who have an automatic press, ela shel kol adam. Amar Rav Yossi, osin svikim kemin rakikin, you can make Syrian type bread which are flat like wafers, but ain't osin svikim kemin gulskoyos. But you can't make them thick like rolls. Tana Rabbanan. Now the Gemara quotes the Mishnah in Chala that we've been studying. Tana Rabbanan. Hasufkanin v'adufshanin v'istrikin v'chalat ha-masrei s'v'amuduma p'turim in Chala. My chalat ha-masrei, Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, ze chalut shel balei batim. This is the cake that is cooked, boiled, of the household. Amar Shlokish. Halolu ma'asa ilfus. Rabbi Yochanan ma'afa ma'asa ilfus chayavim. That similarly, bread that's cooked in a pot, bread that's baked in a pot, is also doesn't have the status of challah. And Rabbi Yochanan says that bread that is ma'asa ilfus, that is made in a pot, chayavim, requires challah. But halolu, these halat ha'masweis, which is, does not require challah in the Mishnah of challah, Sha'asa'an b'chama. They're made baked in the sun. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, something that's cooked in a pot conceivably also has the status of bread. Meitve. Hasufkinin v'adubshanin v'yistarikin asa'an v'ilpas chayavin v'chama v'chayavin v'chama p'turin v'yufta v'davishanin v'lakish. It explicitly says that if you make them in a pot, you fry the dough in a pan, for example, that has the status of bread and is higher than challah. And otherwise, but if you do it in the sun, not. Amar Ula Amar La Rabbi Chemishonach Achak B'mayiskinan She Behirtiach V'Lesov Hidbin. When you heated up the pot and then you put the bread in, so it's almost like an oven. That is, all that the pot is doing is serving the purpose of being a small oven.
So it's a doughing.
Put the dough in, right. Well, in Bekul of the Sofiotiach, if you put the dough mixture in the pot and then cook that pot over the fire, my, hachinami de p'turim, you're going to say that is patur. Now, there's Rabbi Mishlakish is suggesting that there's a difference between whether you heat up a large pot, which makes it essentially into an oven, and then you're just baking the bread inside a pot. But as far as the bread is concerned, it's no different than baking it in an oven, or taking the dough and putting it in a pot over a fire, which is like pan frying it in a large pot. The second case, according to Rish Lakish, would not be considered bread. And that's how he's trying to draw the distinction. So the Gemara says that's impossible. Adotani seifa son v'chamap tovin litvig v'litvig v'didav amet v'morim k'shel tiach v'lesov v'dvig avol v'dvig v'lesov v'tiach v'torin. Chasurim echsurei v'hafitani. V'omer dvarim amurim sheritirach v'sof yivik, avot yivik v'sof yitirach, nasa nami, nasa kemisha asa v'chama uptoi. The question is whether bread requires baking. The argument is what constitutes baking, and whether the bread requires actual baking. Let's take it further. Tashma yutzin b'matzah hayina. Rashi interprets matzah ina, matzah is not thoroughly cooked. My matzah ina, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Shmuel, kol shepok sa, ve'ein chutin nishnim shakin imen. As long as you break the matzah and you don't have strings of dough coming out of it. Amar Rabba v'chein lachmei toda, shita hachalechem k'se v'hachalechem k'se, ma'al k'tei ma'al k'se v'ikul b'imenu, echad mikol karban, echad shelo yutol po, Horeh svahachi k'man depesim davi kamash. Meitvei hama'isa, if you actually boil the dough, beit shamai potrim uveit hilel mechayvim. Echlita, it's a different word for boiling, beit shamai mechayvim uveit hilel potrim. Ezu hama'isa ve'ezu echlita. And the isa kemach shal gabei mugleshin, that you take the dough and you put it on into the boiling water. The hechlita mugleshin shal gabei kemach. Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yossi omer lishon aviv ze vezeh lichtov, ba'amui ze vezeh lechiyur. Vachachamim omrim echad ze ve'echad ze asan ve'ilpes patur betanol chayav. That if you make all of this boiled dough in the oven, then it's considered as bread, otherwise not. But Tana Kama Mashna and Yisrael Mashna Echlita Mabiyoda Amar Shmuel V'chein Rabbi Yehuda V'chein Rabbi Yishua Ben Levi Kamachloket Bezu Kach Machloket Bezu V'tav Bavisha Shana Zu Lo Shana Zu V'tana Miyasa Chamim Yechad Zeh Yechad Zeh Shasan V'yilpas Patu V'tana Chayav Tiyufta Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lecha Rabbi Yochanan Tanoi V'tanyu Yechol Yehi Amisa V'chuluta Chayavim V'chala Tamil Lomer Lechem V'yudu Omer Ein Lechem Ela Apoy V'tanyu Rabbi Yehuda Hayna Tamil Kama Ela Lavalav Maisa Ilpas Yechud Tanakama Sava Maisa Ilpas Chayavim Rabbi Yehuda Sava Maisa Ilpas Ptulim Lo, V'kul Yama Maisa Ilpas Ptulim V'hocha Kegon Shechazal V'yafa'ol V'tanyu The Tanakama Sava, Kevan Shechazal V'yafa'ol V'tanyu Lechem Kavin and Dave Rabbi Yehuda Sava Ein Lechem Ela Ahalpoy V'yitar Meika. That's your problem with the bagel. According to one opinion, if you boil it and then bake it, it would not be considered as bread, and if not otherwise. The Chuli Anal Ritosis. The Chuli Alma Ma'aseh Ilpis Pturim. Fasak Rabbi Hananel Kerush Lakish. Medit Yama the Chuli Alma Ma'aseh Ilpis Pturim. So according to Rish Lakish, any bread which is actually cooked in a pot as opposed to being baked in the oven does not have the status of bread. ועוד יסיב רוב רב יוסף אחורי דרב זרע עליו ודו בשלוק ישמע. ולורי נראה, however the read disagrees, because רב יוחנן קיימו, that the final opinion is like רב יוחנן, מדלו חשב לב החולץ והד יש לו שד על החקר ולשלוק יש לגב רב יוחנן. ואומר לי, so therefore, this is the machlokas, whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan or doesn't require oven cooking or not. ואומר לי, that על ידי משקה, Moder of Yochanan, the Maaseh Ilpis Ptura, Ve'en Varken Ol Hamot Sikir Imurach Yerushalmi, the Masechet Chala Lepere Kama Bechatla, Omar Rav Yochanan, Kol Shah Ur Mahalech Tachta, Chayavim Bechala, Omar Rav Ha'la Ramot Sikir, Yodom Yerzei Dei Yochanan Ol Pesach. Mishlakish Omer, Eino Chayav Bechala, Ve'en Varken Ol Hamot Sikir, Ve'en Adam Yerzei Dei Yochanan Ol Pesach. Ve'yam Rav Yochanan, Levad Shiyeh HaMashkin. So all of this is now, therefore, according to this opinion, that as long as, if it's baked in the pot, it's considered as bread, according to Rabbi Yochanan, but if it's cooked in the pot, it's not considered as bread. Now comes the Rabbeinu Tam's position. The Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Dafka B'Lilato Rakapli, this whole different dispute between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish as to what happens if something is baked in a pot or put into the oven is only talking about batter, but not about dough. So Rabbi Yochanan savar fiyato beilkes osehu lechem v'chayav v'chala, that if it's baked in a pot, even if it's soft dough, even if it's batter, it's considered as bread. Rish Lakish savar ein osehu lechem u'patul. Avol v'lilato ava, if it's actual dough, kuli alma modi lechayav v'chala, af aridei mashke. Everyone agrees that it's considered as bread, even if it's actually boiled.
Would the kneading be the
So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you knead the dough, then that dough, if it is boiled, has the status of bread. V'ha'chiyuf chala havi b'mesha'at gilgul, k'di mufach b'kama gulti, v'chein machbir m'sachat chala, v'tnat isa sh'tchilata v'sofa sufkenin p'tura mina chala, tchilata sufkenin v'sofa isa, tchilata isa v'sofa sufkenin chayavin b'chala. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam says the same rule applies to Hamotzi. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you knead dough and then boil it, it requires Hamotzi. The Amar Hayah Omeidu Makriv Minchav Yerushalayim, the Gemara that we just learned, when someone is standing and bringing a Mincha in Yerushalayim, Omer Shechiyanu Natlo Liyokal Omer Amotzi, and Pasuk Ketani Kolom Nachot, Afilu Minchat Mahavat Umafeshet, including the Minchat Mahavat Umafeshet, that means fried flour. In other words, if you take kneaded dough and then fry it in a pan in oil and make some, I don't know what you call, you would call that in English, but if you take thick dough, roll it out, and make a thick crust out of it and fry it according to the Gemara, there should be a motz. Akal pishem to get it b'shem. Ve'ein svara l'chalek bein mayim l'shem. And there's no reason to differentiate between frying the dough or actually boiling it. In Cain, now I don't know what these words mean, al l'nuchli u'felti, some types of cakes or whatever they are, omer bo'ren b'nei mezogot, the al galtuni uvirbuli bavarecha motzi. Now I don't know what these are, but presumably they're some kind of pasta. Let's take a look at our Tosfot. If you do have at least the first half of it here, let's take a look now back in our Gemara in Brachos. And again, I will read from the text because you're going to be missing half of this Tosfot. Lechem ha'asui lekutach patur min achallah. Very bottom Tosfos on the right. Lechem ha'asui lekutach patur min achallah. Bahainu kishasul kilumudim upirash Rashi isa shem yavshim b'challah. Bread that's dried in the sun. The kasher da'aminim b'mesechet challah kol shetchilato isa v'sofo sufkinim chayav b'challah. V'chol shetchilato sufkinim v'sofo isa chayav nami b'challah. In Vim Cain, Upasak, Rabbenutan, in Cain,
but here Sufkinim means
soft dough. Vim Cain, the Niblis Verusuli, some types of pastas, the Trilatan Isa. Vermisius, afal pisha ein afal gab the chayabin bachala, shahayu isa mitkila, to him in hamotzi, the ein bevachin of them elevoim in his anotu ledle to it at the nahama. Viachaka procha achatni in shatnal mikili ala kalkala. What is this vermisius? I presume these are noodles. In other words, Tosfos is differentiating between pastas, which we eat as a main food, like macaroni, spaghetti, and various other types of pastas, according to Rabbeinu Tam, is a motzi lechem min haaretz, and presumably noodles, which are put into soup and which are further degenerated, either by being cooked in the soup a long time or were not intended as a main piece of the meal. You see, here's where I have trouble with the phrase tsutuita denahama. What is I know what the Gemara meant by tuita denahama. The Gemara meant that it lost its identity as bread. But here, according to Rabbeinu Tam, all forms of pasta are bread. So how do the noodles lose their identity as bread by being cooked in the soup? Presumably what this means is that noodles are something which are never meant to be eaten as a main ingredient, as a staple, the way that spaghetti or macaroni or pastas are, and therefore you make a boring in its own. Rabbein Yochiel Zal Hayom Supak Im Vermisus Chayavim Bachala Mishem Oseh Isato Batzei Kidei Lachal Kap Turin Menachala Lelepe Shiro Achi Gavri Vermisus Nami Ptur Mepamim Chalken Shenim etc. etc. Furthermore, the Rush in the Psakim is very clear about this. The Od Haya Omer Rabbein Otam De B'davar Shed B'chibilato Rakap Li Rav Yochanan Savar Fiyato Be'ilfes Oso Oto Lechem Roshlipi Savar Davka Tanu Al Davar Shebulilato Kashe Mudi Kuli Alma De Mechaya B'chala Afilu B'Salfo L'Bashlo B'Mayim O L'Tagno B'Shem The Bishat Gilgul Ati Chiyuv Chalak Nemucha Pekamadu. Ba'od Ayawa Minutam, Ki Heki Dimchai Bechala, Hachi Nami Mavarech Ala Hanotzi Liyacha Bishul, O Liyacha Atigun, Kilmucha Pekrocha Pekeitzad Mavokim, Haya Omei Demakrib Nachot Yerushalayim, Omer Shekhiyanu, Natla Liyokla, Amo Musilach Min Ha'aretz. Vekapasek Betani, Loshna Min Chatzolet, Ma'afet Tanur, Loshna Min Chat Ma'chabat, Ma'keshet, Afal Pish, Mitagnim Bishem. והוא הדין בינם במבושה במים, לא מסתבר לחלק בין מים לשם. אבל כבר משהו שקוראים לקריאה היום אלו בין אותם שאין בו הכנועים לכי שאין בו תראו את הדינם או אף על פי שנתחייב יצאתה בפעלה. So it's the same business as here, and it's repeated in the Mordechai in Sacht.
This was a Russian problem?
That was the Russian in soccer.